Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Here you will get plenty of promos from me and plenty on the NFL, especially today because we've got Thursday Night Football, Patriots, Rams. But more than that, we are Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Jhené Ogwumike, Chocolate, and Mike Golick Jr., Vanilla, Swirl. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell, Pennzoil, Performance Lines. Now, in a few minutes, we will get to the latest Woj bomb in Book It. I'm so excited to play that surrounding playoff P. I need y'all to be nice to Paul George. Y'all really came in high when it came to Paul.
Come on. We didn't do anything, Jhené. The collective internet just looks at Paul George. Because did he not give himself the nickname Playoff P?
He might have.
See, I feel like that's the real issue here, and that's why people are so quick to call him layoff or way off P Pandemic
Stop.
P or
Stop.
Any of these things that were trending when his extension was announced, because you can't give yourself a nickname, especially not one that touts your non-existent postseason prowess.
Oh, goodness, no, because I started thinking of the nicknames of the guys in action tonight in the NFL, and I'm like, Super Cam, I'm like, oh, have we been seeing that? But hey, they're winning, though, but they're facing the Rams, and we will see how that shakes out tonight. Now, part two of our conversation, because yesterday we talked about the teams in the AFC, and now we're going to switch to the NFC, and we asked you guys a question, and I think we tried to deliver a pretty good answer. Among the non-division leaders in the NFL, we did the AFC, but now we're on to the NFC. Among the non-division leaders, who is the best team in the NFC? And it's been really interesting because what we said at the start of the season, primarily in the AFC, is like, okay, we've got the cream at the top. And the NFC is sort of more free-flowing, right? And now amongst the non-division leaders, we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we've got the Seattle Seahawks, the Cardinals, and also the Vikings. So I ask you this, Junior, out of those squads, who's the best?
I still think it's Tampa Bay, Jhené. I think when you look at what this team has accomplished, because the 7-5 record I think is going to throw a lot of people off until you look at the games that they've lost in this. I mean, you're talking about twice to the Saints. That we talked to Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders yesterday. They have the Saints over the Chiefs as the number one team in the NFL in their DVOA rankings right now. So the losses that you've had at the Bucs have come to the Saints twice, a Bears team that early in the season was weirdly hot in a way that I still don't fully understand on a Thursday night where you were a little banged up. And then it's to the division-leading Rams that you just talked about and the Kansas City bleeping Chiefs. So I look at this and say, all right, your worst crime was being in a division where you saw maybe the best team in the NFL twice. But other than that, also a lot of the offensive misgivings have come against that competition. So I still think, Jhené, they would be my best team outside of the division leaders. What about you?
I like simplicity here, and it's funny because the way I evaluate these types of questions, it's the same thing that I do throughout all of sports. All right, is it the offense? Is it the defense? Is it the combination of both? And obviously, the best scenario is having a combination, but right now in the NFL, you know, you'd probably say, you know, Kansas City's offense, when it's on fire, cannot be stopped. And so I sort of get those same feelings when I talk about Seattle, but their defense is what really holds them all the way back, especially most recently. I think they rank right now in total defense, 31st, and pass defense 32nd, which is dead last. So clearly my answer is the Bucs, just because their defense on a good day will be great. On a bad day, it'll be average. The offense on a good day will be really great. It's moving. And I think they are, 5-1 when Ronald Jones has at least 15 touches. Now, of course, like whenever you have a guy that can run the ball, it's going to up your odds of winning. But that healthy balance on both sides to me is why I still defer to the Bucs as a team that's not, you know, leading their division, but probably the best. It's, you know, what's been curious though, Junior? The Cardinals. Because the Cardinals, they were one of those teams that we were saying was trending in the right direction, right? But then a lot of times, and I think you can sort of point to Kyler Murray when we started seeing him being hampered by his shoulder. It seems like things haven't been the same. Outside of the, you know, Seattle and the Bucs, I feel like the Cardinals are interesting, even though they have taken a few steps back.
Yeah, Jhené, I think the NFC West overall has been really interesting because what have we watched? We've watched the NFC East with the Giants and the Washington football team, who were in the basement of everyone's preseason rankings working their way up. That was the consensus worst division in football through the first half of the season, and still is. But the NFC West has been a juggernaut. It's a division where anyone can win. The 49ers got clutch wins over the last portion of the season. But you look at all right, Russell Wilson is the reason we've had so much quarterback, regardless of what Seattle's wins or losses have looked like. But now the foundation is cracking around the trust with Russ at this point, and we don't know what to make of that. And so I think that's the unnerving part, is for them, their formula for success has been skewed now in such a way where we're not sure if they can find the way back. And it's actually what makes Tampa Bay a super interesting conversation. I want to play this for you. Dominique Foxworth does a great job as a writer for The Undefeated for us, and obviously a former NFL defensive back for a number of years. Talk about Bruce Arians and Bruce's apparent discomfort with the way things are trending right now with the Bucs.
I don't expect much from this team going forward. I think that this partnership hasn't really been a partnership between Brady and the Bucs. The best thing that you can have in a partnership is a give and a take and someone to control your worst impulses. It doesn't seem like that's happening in Tampa Bay. It feels like Brady kind of gets to make the front office decision. He kind of gets to make the game plan decisions. He's making the decision where you throw the ball. And obviously, I don't know exactly what's happening down there, but Bruce Arians seems really uncomfortable with the way this team is going, and the only person he seems to be pointing a finger at or kind of tilting his head towards is the Hall of Famer, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady.
And
Junior.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, it's funny because we hear those things, and when you talk about Bruce Arians as a whole, I feel like he's comfortable being uncomfortable, even though it seems like when you have Tom Brady, you're forced to talk about Tom Brady more.
Yeah, well, and Chinea, we've heard all season long, anytime Bruce Arians has publicly called out Tom Brady or anyone else in this team, we've heard that's just the way Bruce Arians is. And so I'm more inclined to believe that. And we see in all these things, yes, there's a feeling out in the relationship process. And yes, Tom Brady is probably, relative to the superiority that Bruce Arians has enjoyed for a while in Tampa Bay, a more difficult person to deal with in this spot. But, Chinea, you know how this goes. The minute you start to get close to and smell the prize, the reason that you've done all this and operated the way you have, just attaching names and bodies on the side of this Tampa Bay pirate ship all year long, the closer they get to the playoffs and the prize here, I have a feeling the easier these conversations get for everyone, because it's going to be, we know what this is all about. Both of this coach and player are well-versed that the goal is the Super Bowl, and your proximity for a short time with this quarterback is the thing you're trying to max out.
And I'd like to also say here, because one of our producers, Liam, actually brought up the idea that statistically, even though Antonio Brown was supposed to help this offense in this instance, like be literally instant offense, it seems like it's lowered the production of guys like Scotty Miller. Myself, I have Chris Godwin on my fantasy team, and we know he dealt with injury earlier this season. How do you see that shaping out? You know, again, like you said, year one is not easy for anyone, but do you think that this is one of those microcosms of the issues, especially with the coach, and translating that to the quarterback and now affecting other players around the field?
Oh, yeah, Chinea, we always knew it was going to be a difficult blend of both offenses in this spot, and you're trying to develop those relationships on the fly. And so everything a quarterback knows about a receiver and vice versa is something that's learned over the course of so many reps, even if you've got such great parts at all those positions. And then, yes, you add Antonio Brown in, but I will point to the Antonio Brown add was not about a short-term gain for them. It wasn't about what numbers Antonio Brown was going to put up in his first four games as a Buccaneer. This is about when you get to the postseason, can you get enough time under task with these guys? We've seen a lot of teams develop in the course of the year. It's when you hit the postseason, can they be in a spot? Because no one's going to question that Antonio Brown is a markedly more talented player than Scotty Miller. No one is going to question that Tom Brady, because of going back to the Patriot days, probably has a better football understanding of Antonio Brown on the field than he does of Scotty Miller in some ways there. And so I think that's a long-term play that we're grading after too short of a time.
And Junior, I'll stop stepping on your toes. You can do your read now.
Chinea Ngola Jr. is here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show, Penzoa Performance Line. No toes stepped on here, just people passionate about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is a new phenomenon this year. I mean, Tampa
right?
Bay fans have to be kind of hype about all of that, so I see no issue with that going forward. But, Chinea, we are talking about the NFC, and so coming up next, we have to explore maybe the most insane possibility of this football season. A preparation for not one, but two capable NFC East teams in the postseason.
Oh, gosh.
You going to book it? That's next. Chinea Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinea Ngola Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. here with you. Now, I cannot wait to talk to Dan Orlovsky. I like to call him Uncle Dan because he's like family and he sends us the best group texts. And I feel like
he's also not that much older than me, so I don't know how I feel about that, Chinee.
I'm auntie. Like, whenever we start dancing, I'm not trying to do what the young kids are doing on the TikTok. I'm auntie officially. I've got the auntie moves.
Wait, did you just call it the TikTok?
I didn't say that, did I?
I feel like you slipped and let, like, that's
oh,
the,
gosh. To me, I am officially
the,
auntie.
I can say, I think that's the official sign that we are, like, in that older crowd now, is we're putting the before the latest
exactly.
social media trend.
So that means you are actually an uncle to, like, animals and real kids, I think, right?
I was going to say, I am definitely Uncle Mike status at this point. This is not an announcement that any of my siblings are pregnant. These are all my friends' kids, so no one gets hyped and starts
thank you. That's
anyone.
What I was going to say. God, Uncle. But, you know, it's really funny because bringing on Dan, UConn quarterback, played in the NFL at quarterback, and now to get a take on many quarterbacks, especially the one tonight, Jared Goff taking on the Patriots. I can't wait to hear what he said about that, what he's going to say about that and what he thinks about that, because based on the group chat, I feel like he's ready. He is ready, but actually we are ready because I've been waiting for this moment because I feel like I'm going to make our producer Shannon, who is a Knicks fan, I don't know if he still publicly claims it, maybe pretty happy, and I feel like we should do this in Book It.
All right, guys, Book It. You know the drill. You add Book It to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the books.
You know what time it is. It's Book It time, damn it.
I'm still saying no.
Chinee Ogwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Our producer, Shannon, is beside himself right now.
I knew it.
I'm going to not give him credit for claiming that team. Like, unfortunately, we know all too well.
A lot of people are jumping ship these days and heading to the Nets, so I couldn't remember.
Like, jumping ship now of all times? Like, you've suffered through way worse, Knicks fans. Way worse.
I guess that's fair. Who's doing it today, Devin?
Devin, you ready?
I'm always ready.
Yeah, say, who's doing it? Devin's doing it.
All right, Chinee, you're up first. Two NFC East teams will make the playoffs. Are you booking it?
Their latest streaks are cute, but not going to be able to do it. I can't do it.
Damn.
That's because I'm not going to be a victim of the moment here. No disrespect to the Giants and Joe Judge and what he's been able to do. No disrespect to the Washington football team and how much they've overcome, especially this season, just turning things around. Both guys, like the wins that they've amassed as of late haven't been against great, great teams. I think the Giants, Washington football team, Eagles, Bengals with no Joe Burrow, and then the Seahawks. And then I believe the Washington football team, their wins against the Bengals, Cowboys, and Steelers, while the Steelers were notably banged up. So, like, these aren't huge Hallmark wins, but you got to reward a win, but I'm not able to book it.
Devin, so explain the situation that's at stake here when it comes to this down the stretch, because this is shocking news for a lot of people and a reminder of just how below par most of the NFC has been this year.
I probably should have done that on the front end. That's my bad. All right, so we got the Washington football team at 5-7. The New York Giants are at 5-7. Minnesota Vikings currently in the 7th seed, which is the last spot in the playoffs. They are at 6-6. Minnesota, they play, I'm blanking on it right now. Let me come back to it. The Giants are playing the Cardinals, and the Washington football team is playing the, this is awful. I forgot who's playing.
This is fantastic radio right now, Devin. I'm going to save you here.
Please save
Minnesota me. Is going to finish down the stretch at Tampa Bay, home versus the Bears, at the Saints, and at the Lions in this one. Now, on the other side, Washington's going to finish their season at San Francisco. Versus the Seahawks, versus the Panthers, at the Eagles. This is an absolute fire.
Minnesota's that's playing.
Devin, I'm going to save us here. Two NFC East teams aren't making the playoffs.
That's what I said.
Not
going to
book it.
Woman.
Let's ask the next question.
Moving on.
Dan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Book it. We give you a normally very coherent, spicy take. If we like it, we throw book
and
it on the end.
And we shouldn't reach here. It's NFC East. The answer is no.
Honestly, we spent more time covering the NFC East in this one segment than most teams should in a lifetime.
Hit us next.
We will mercifully move on.
James Harden will finish the season as a member of the Houston Rockets. Mike, are you booking it?
Hell no.
Oh, that was good.
Damn that.
I can't in this
hell
instance.
Hell no.
We say it all the time. Thank you for that one, Cliff. If you're going to make this much noise, I can't imagine. And it's probably going to be when we least expect it. Like, I would expect it more around the trade deadline. We talked to Tim McMahon, who covers the Rockets for us here. And it just never seems to be one of those that happens in real time. The Rockets are going to give this every version of their best effort, Chiney. But ultimately, when stars want out, they get out, period.
Look, you should understand, if I am saying it, I really actually believe this is likely going to happen. He's not going to finish as a Rocket. I mean, he's made it abundantly clear. His time is gone, and it's now making sure we get the value back. The Rockets get the value back, so I don't think he'll finish. You can book that.
All right, Chiney. Obi Toppin will be the rookie of the year this NBA season. Are you booking it?
I'm turning right now to my Zoom, and I'm looking directly in the eyes of one Shannon Penn, and I'm saying, yes, you can book it. Obi Toppin will be rookie of the year.
You can
just
book
because.
It.
And if you look at the odds right now, I think Toppin has the fourth best odds to win behind LaMelo Ball, James Wiseman, and also Anthony Edwards. And the reason why I like Obi Toppin is because he's playing for the Knicks, Shannon, which means he will have plenty of opportunity, and he's the one built for this because he can touch the game in a variety of ways. I think he averaged like 27-2, and I feel like he has the perfect recipe to win this award. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, but at least I can give you momentary hope right now. Oh,
I can't book it.
No, sir. No.
I just feel like in a draft, especially in a draft class where someone like LaMelo Ball is going to get every opportunity, going to Charlotte,
true,
being the only show in town there, I just think the amount of touches in that spot on a team that's only, I think, a half step coherently above what the Knicks have been dealing with as far as the way it's run, probably going to give it an opportunity. He's got the name value to go along with all of it, so I am not going to book that.
Really?
Devin,
you're
we
the
got
mind,
time
I'm
for
the
one
heart.
More?
Yeah, we do, of course. Jalen Hurts will remain the starter in Philly for the rest of the season. Mike, are you booking that one?
I am not going to book it just because I think the Eagles are
damn
chaos this year.
That.
I think so much goes on with this team, and it's so difficult to try and predict what's going to happen next that he should get multiple starts during the stretch of the season, but I can't rule out another Carson Wentz start at this point in time, especially if this division becomes one that's still closely contested for them if they find their way into a meaningful situation. I cannot book this one.
I have to agree here. I'm not able to
really?
Book it just because what we've heard, we can only go by what we've heard even if it's not what they mean, but if they're trying to find a spark or someone that can help them win the game, if it's Carson Wentz towards the end of the game, I feel like that's not an option that's off the table, so I can't book Jalen Hurts for the forever future, at least for this season.
I can book that this is likely the worst we've ever done.
I was just going to say, I thought that went really well.
All things considered, Devin, you and I have been doing this segment for years now. We did it starting at 4 in the morning when we were doing First and Last on ESPN Radio here. And this is by far our worst showing. And honestly, we have no one to blame but the NFC East. They dragged us down into the muck, and they beat us at their own game.
I love how Devin said it. Devin said to start it, I'm bored ready. Stay ready, baby.
Full disclosure, I was like in Mike's ear. I was like, you want me to break down the scenarios all confident? And then when it came to me, absolutely floundered.
It's okay.
I shoved it right onto Devin's plate. He had done it so well when we were talking in the pre-show meeting. I said, have at it, Hoss.
Playoff
and we completely botched that. There is only one thing that can save us from the likely listening session involving that segment next week.
No.
And that is our uncle, Dan Orlovsky,
yes,
who's going to come in and not only let us know how much pressure is on Jared Goff, but let's go to the NFC East and what should the Eagles do, what can the Eagles do to give Jalen Hurts the best opportunity this weekend in his first start. We'll do that next. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Nailed it.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
In about 10 minutes, we will turn up the heat. After Coach K dropped the mic yesterday, we have some responses from another coach. You just have to hear this, I'm telling you. Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN+. Chiney Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. here with you. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines. But right now, we are excited to head right there because on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, we are joined by ESPN NFL Live co-host and NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, who we've just said in our family, I feel like you're the big brother, even though I might have called you uncle not too long ago, Dan.
There's no might have. You called him Uncle Dan, and I feel like we've called him that before. I feel like Dan is very much an uncle personality, though.
Do you accept that, Dan?
Yeah, listen, like, I've been called so many things in my life that have negative connotation. Like, I'll take something that, I guess, like, potentially has positive connotation to it. So, I'll accept it for sure.
Yay. Another thing you've been called is quarterback. UConn quarterback, quarterback in the NFL. And I love your quarterback lens and eyes because on this one, Thursday Night Football between the Patriots and the Rams, I think there's a lot of eyes on Jared Goff. How would you evaluate him as a quarterback this season and also the pressure he may be feeling tonight?
Yeah, there's a ton of pressure tonight. Like, he's going to have to perform well
very consistently, because New England's defense been playing really good since Stephon Gilmore came back. You know, I'm someone that thinks that Jared's a really good player. I know that probably the national perception of him is like, oh, Sean McVay makes him, but he consistently makes some big-time throws when he needs to. I think that Sean's done a really good job of hiding some of their offense. They don't take those play-action bombs anymore. It's much more of a play-action distribution, you know, shorter passing game, and he's been really good with that. Obviously can't give the football away like he has over the past 4 or 5 weeks. And I think tonight for him against New England, it's how well he stands in the pocket. New England stunts on defense have been really good, so how well he stands in the pocket, he's going to have to be an absolute killer on third down. Like, if they're going to win, he has got to play like a dog on third down. And so that will kind of show the world, not show the country, and show a lot of people that he's playing at a different level this season.
We know primetime's big opportunities for that stuff, Dan, certainly, but we also know anytime the Cowboys say or do anything, it makes a ton of news. And I know we were talking to you yesterday, Dan, you were fired up about what's going on in Big D right now. Do you really think, looking at the situation for Dallas right now, the situation they're in, that they've got to take a serious look at Mike McCarthy and his future at this point?
Unquestionably. Dude, the Cowboys suck. Like, they suck. They're 31st in the NFL in point differential behind the Jets. How can we sit here and say Adam Gase is awful when they're neck and neck with the Jets, 31st in turnovers with the Jets, 31st in efficiency with the Jets? Like, and I know their team is beat up. So are a lot of other teams. The team that they just got curb stomped by the other night, the Ravens, they're beat up too. So, like, I don't, like, Jerry Jones, you got to tell me why they would keep Mike McCarthy. What has he done to go, you know what? That's the guy that's going to win us a Super Bowl. What's happened this year? A coach that's really good covers up for deficiencies, covers up for injuries being out. They're terrible. This is the same team that 2 months ago had players tell us that they didn't need to play with maximum effort. Dude, y'all are terrible. So, like, how can you sit here and tell me that Mike McCarthy has done anything to prove that he's worthy of the job? And then if I'm Dak Prescott, listen, I've been somebody who's been very kind of, I think Dak's a good player. I don't think Dak's a great player. Now, what has opened my eyes, or what my eyes have been open to, is like, man, Dak's a big-time leader. He's super important to that organization. If I'm Dak Prescott, I'm sitting back going, hold up. Dude, is that the coach that I want to tie my prime years to? Is it? Because if you look at the quarterbacks that have had a lot of success in the NFL over the last 20 years, both individually and team-wise, those guys are tied to organizational competency. There's nothing about the Cowboys competent-wise that has happened over the last 15, 20 years. So I think they got major issues, certainly head coach being one of them.
Woo! Dan Orlovsky with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, our ESPN NFL analyst, Chinay Ngolo Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golick Jr., Chinay Agumake, and Dan, I have a hard time spotting the lie in anything that you've said there, and so I will now transition to asking about the Philadelphia Eagles, but I don't want to talk about Carson Wentz anymore. I know you do enough of that during the day here on ESPN Radio.
Thank you. I want to ask you,
going into this weekend, Jalen Hurts is a rookie getting his first start against the New Orleans Saints defense. What does this Philadelphia Eagles coaching staff need to do that maybe they haven't been for Carson to try and give him some chance to succeed this weekend?
Yeah, three things. First of all, they need to major in the RPO and the PRO game. So we all know the RPO is the run-pass option. It eats up zone defense. Well, the Saints play a bunch of man defense. So they need to do a ton of RPOs, but then have man-beating concepts attached to the RPOs. A lot of rubs and meshes and picks to allow him to be one read, play fast. Then the PRO game, where they go a pass concept first with a designed quarterback power, a quarterback draw attached to it, so he can make, again, another simplified read. Does that man win? If not, let's go to the quarterback run game. So pass first, then run, but also the RPOs. Number two, dude, they got a major in a lot of quarterback run. That's just the reality of it. When you're playing a front seven as good as New Orleans, your offensive line is beat up. If you can catch an extra double team, that helps. And that's what the quarterback run will do. It gives them, Mike, you know, the plus one, right? You even the number game. So that's a big deal. I think they need to do a ton of that. Number three, I honestly can say this. I don't know if I would have him throw a single throw from the pocket. I don't know if I would. Like, match or man coverage takes a little bit more time for guys to win. Your offensive line's really bad. You're playing against a defensive line that's really good. It just doesn't make sense to have him play from the pocket. So I think this is going to be a really difficult game for Jalen Hurts. I think it has very little to do with Jalen Hurts and much more to do with what's around him and who he's playing against. But for them to have success offensively, they need to major in those three things.
Great things to keep an eye on for everyone as we head into this NFL weekend. You can check Dan out on NFL Live 4 Eastern every day here on ESPN. Dan, we appreciate you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dan.
Be safe, guys. Later.
Dan Orlovsky with us on the show, Penzo Performance Line. I can't quite tell how Dan feels about the Cowboys, Janae. I'm not 100% sure.
I couldn't tell either. Nah, he's just chill. He's chilling.
He is chilling, all right. No doubt about that. But you know what? Complete lack of chill. We'll stick with that. Because in the world of college basketball, Janae, somebody found out that if you come at the K, you best not miss. And I feel like this one rimmed out. We will get to who that is next after this word from Butcher Box. Going to the grocery store is on everyone's to-do list. The problem is no one really likes to do it, especially during the holidays. Crowded stores, long lines. We've all been there and done that, and it's no fun. That's why I'm happy to tell you to sign up for ButcherBox. ButcherBox is going to ship high-quality meats conveniently right to your door. I have a bunch of fresh salmon that just finished thawing out, getting ready to go to work, put a little lemon on top of that, do it upright. I can do that because ButcherBox also has great recipes on their website that you can check out. And the best part is they partner with folks who believe in going above and beyond when it comes to caring for animals, the environment, and sustainability. From free-range organic chicken to heritage breed pork, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef to fresh-caught seafood like salmon and scallops. ButcherBox has over 20 different cuts of meat you can choose from, and their boxes are going to ship fresh right to your door. And that website loaded with awesome recipes that the whole family's going to love. Or again, you making dinner for yourself, alone, listening to Taylor Swift. Sign up today at ButcherBox.com/CJR. And for a limited time, new members are going to get a free pack of bacon for the life of their membership. That's right. You get one pack of bacon for free in every box for the life of your membership. All you got to do is sign up at butcherbox.com/CJR. That's butcherbox.com/CJR. Who had words for Coach K? We'll tell you after this. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Now, at the top of the hour, we will get to the most talked about man in the NBA. And right now, it's not LeBron James, surprisingly. Houston, we do actually have a problem. Like, I think it's real right now. Chinay Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chinay Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. Now, I want to start, though, with college hoops before we get to James Harden at the top of the hour, because we saw yesterday the ticker that said more than 850 D1 games have been called off due to COVID. And I think that's creating qualms amongst a lot of people. Why are we doing this? This is taking a lot out of us, you know, the stress and the sacrifice and the mental health. One of those people that actually spoke was Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski of Duke. And this was after their loss to the Illinois, in the sense that he said, quote, "I don't feel that it's right to anybody. I don't think it feels right to anybody," meaning the situation that they're in, pushing forward with games that have at a crazy high number been canceled. And now we finally have a response, because it's interesting. Everyone has an opinion. And I feel like what we just heard from another college coach in response to Coach K is super interesting. And we'll talk about this, because the comments were pretty hot.
Your team got you down.
It's very sad and very frustrating.
We got you.
Because now is your time.
It is an absolute abomination.
Coming in hot with Janae and Golic Jr.
And Junior, before we play the actual sound of this coach, I want to just final things of, you know, say things about Coach K, in the sense that in that quote also he said, "You have 2,000 deaths
Janae,
a day."
Janae, I have the sound if you want to play it here from Coach K.
Let's play it.
Here's the sound from Mike Krzyzewski in his press conference after that Duke-Illinois game, talking about the state of college hoops.
I would just like
just for the safety, the mental health and the physical health of our players and staff, like to assess where we're at. I know somebody will take what I'm saying tonight and make it like I'm making excuses. I don't make excuses. We need to get a lot better, but for the good of the game and the good of the safety and the mental and physical health of our players and staff and whatever, we need to constantly look at this thing.
Well, Janae, somebody did, and that somebody has a name and is also a Division I men's basketball coach in Nate Oates, who coaches at Alabama, and he was out here getting ratioed all day on the Twitter for saying this in response to what we have seen now. This is Nate Oates, who part of his quote was, we 100% should be playing basketball right now, but here was him bringing up Mike Krzyzewski and some of the comments that Coach K made.
Can I ask you something? I just want to know your opinion. Do you think if Coach K hadn't lost the 2-9 conference games at home, if he'd still be saying that?
Probably not.
Okay. I just wanted you to say it, not me. So, look, here's my deal on it. I think we'd have a whole lot more problems if we weren't playing games. We 100% should be playing basketball. Nobody talks about the mental. Humans aren't made to sit alone in isolation for weeks and weeks on end. We got to be careful with how we do life, but you still got to do life. Part of life, a huge part of life for all these guys I'm coaching is being in the gym playing basketball. So I think their mental health is in a much better spot playing basketball. I think the school, the SEC, the NCAA has done a really good job making sure that we're not putting any of them in danger.
Janae, what he has said at the beginning there about Coach K is what every message board and person online has been saying about this situation. So for another D1 men's hoops coach to have the gall to say that, but then that second part about how we need to play this and all that, we just read and talked about Jeff Hafley, Boston College's coach, a team that was eligible to play a postseason bowl in the NCAA, saying, no, our kids are mentally and physically exhausted from what they've been through this season. And so the we need to play type stuff kind of missed me. That's a summer 2020 take right now. We're in December. Read the room a little bit.
Thank you. And obviously, this is America. Everyone is entitled to their opinion. But when opinions are overshadowing the widespread thoughts of the athletes that are actually playing the games, athletes that we have heard over time talk about mental health and the sacrifice and not seeing family, and then this is difficult. And on top of it, a number of them getting COVID and being in COVID protocols. Sometimes you wonder, are you speaking for yourself? Are you speaking for the people that are actually doing it? And it's crazy because when he says, look, they need to play basketball, this is the thing. The hardest thing for athletes, and when it comes to basketball, collegiately and professionally, missing the gym was hard. These athletes still will have access to a gym. The question is, competitively, do they need to be playing at all times, even if it's a scenario that could be extremely precarious? Do they have to be traveling at this time when the numbers are going up and this hasn't really served a nice process for anyone at this moment? I think that's the question that needs to be, you know, asked. And I think that's what Jay Billis has asked. And the answer here is like, yes, they can play basketball. They can have access to a gym, but do they need to be at risk by playing competitively right now when we don't have as many answers as we need in this moment? That is what he should have been focused on.
Hey, don't have that many answers. I mean, we have a bunch of postponed and canceled games, and I get it. There's still a ton being played. We've said the same thing about football all fall, but Janae, that take just seems like it's one that you had bottled up from a time before. We have proof of everything the way this has all gone. I understand basketball hasn't been on the court for a while. I know players want to play. I've called a bunch of games of football. A lot of these players wanted to be out on the field, but it doesn't change the difficult realities that they're playing in right now. And basketball is just getting started with what football, baseball, hockey, and all these other sports have finished, and yet acting like they haven't heard from anyone involved about all of the, in its own way, different and mentally taxing mental health portions of playing sports in the middle of all this.
And the worst part is the idea that he brought up, Coach Nate Oates, was let's just dig our heads down and keep plowing ahead and not care about what's happening around us. And like you said, you have to read the room, because what's happening right now is something that is out of control. And if you don't plan for a long time in the future, like, this is something that the athletes are making sacrifices, and will they have the fruits of their labor? You have to advocate on their side. So like you said, I think it was just way too tone deaf.
The whole, and I encourage everyone to go watch the entire clip because it's up there. And and you look at Coach Otu, again, I'm not going to doubt his relationship with his players, what he feels about them, saying all these things that he believes are true based on his experiences there. But the attitude relative to the pandemic and everything about all of this seemed somewhat irresponsible for someone in a position of power to go out there and purport like that. And so we'll continue to watch. It won't be the first or last time you see or hear that sound today. My Computer Career, or Coming in Hot, is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. We will have plenty more on the world of college basketball as it unfolds and develop, but in the world of the NBA that is developing right now off the court. Coming up next, we got to pick a new home for James Harden. Where is a landing spot for James outside of Houston? We'll tell you next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.